27. Listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
To hear more, go to radiobible.org.
Did you know we're also on your smart speakers? Just say, Alexa, play WJMM.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to join us here at Recovered Truths on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. here on WJMM Life 99. We present a gospel that you can believe, a Bible that you can trust, a Bible study that you can understand, a life that you can live, and a hope that can sustain you. So we ask that you join us here at 9:30 Sunday mornings here for Recovered Truths.
The following program is sponsored by Grace Fellowship Church.
I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life.
Good morning. This is David Redding for Pastor Jim Schreiner. Each day at this time, the family of Grace Fellowship of Lexington, Kentucky has the opportunity to meet by radio to share together in God's Word. Well, let's join the service already in progress as Pastor Schreiner continues in the series, What About the Spiritual Father Thing?
The Father knows more about you than what a teacher just... That's what Paul's saying. You got a lot of teachers. He said, for you to have countless tutors in Christ, you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Now, they didn't get saved through Paul. But he's saying a part of the gospel is that you acknowledge you need a spiritual father. And see, Corinth had a problem with it. They didn't like Paul. There's a scripture that Paul says, I'm putting it in Pastor Jim's translation, which will be out soon. I'm just kidding. I'm not qualified to translate the Bible. I almost brought it out tonight. I will eventually. But Tasha bought me the pirate version of the Bible. They translated the entire Bible into pirate speak. I mean, verses start with "arr." So eventually I'm going to bring it out. I just don't think you're ready for it yet. I got to slide it in every so often. But it got to the place that Corinth even told Paul. He heard the rumors and they called him short, fat, and ugly. He said, I know I'm base among you. And he said, but through the gospel, part of you receiving the gospel is accepting the spiritual covering that I am to you. That's what Paul's telling them. He said, you got a lot of teachers. Remember when he said that? Some say, I'm of Paul. Some say, I'm of Apollos. And then the real spiritually mature ones say, I am of Christ. I've met some people that Jesus was their only pastor, and boy, did they get messed up. Now look at this. He said, I became your father through the gospel. Now, this position of a spiritual father, I brought this out... sometime. But it means there's a relationship. It means it's not somebody I'm just watching on TV. It's not somebody that wouldn't know me from anybody if I walked up to them. Well, how do you know that, Pastor? Because Paul doesn't stop there with just saying, I became your father through the gospel. Verse 16, therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me. How can you be an imitator if you don't know each other? I don't do this. Y'all know this. I don't act one way behind the pulpit and another way out from behind it. You have to know somebody to know, do I want to imitate their life? Go to Exodus chapter 26. See, God has placed this system of spiritual covering in the church. It's for our benefit. And this is interesting because if you go back to Exodus chapter 26, it's funny to me because God is such a specific God. And when you read through Exodus, I don't know, starting at about chapter 20, when he lays out the tabernacle, every detail is laid out. I mean, what the rings are made of and how many rings go on each part and how long the cords are and how long the stakes are and how far the stakes go out from the side of the tabernacle. But this is interesting to me because he goes into great detail in verse number 1 of Exodus chapter 26. He says, "Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twisted linen and blue and purple and scarlet material. You shall make them with cherubim, the work of skillful workmen." Now go down to verse number 7. "Then you shall make curtains of goat's hair for a tent over the tabernacle. You shall make 11 curtains." God lays out 4 layers of covering over his presence. Yeah, Pastor, that's Old Testament. Well, we're going to get there in a minute because Paul told the church at Corinth those things were given to us as examples. They were a shadow of the things to come. But God is, when I look at this, what I'm seeing is if we want the presence of God to come and dwell, that covering has to be in place. Okay. Go to Numbers chapter 4. See, those are just 2 examples of the covering. There was actually 4 layers of covering over the tabernacle. Those are just 2 of the examples. But from the beginning, God established for his presence to reside with his people, covering had to be in place. Numbers chapter 4. See, I don't want to be a part of a church that's not moving. I mean, it's what we're talking about. We want a move of God, right? We don't want a sedentary of God. Now, the reason I'm bringing that out is because this is so interesting to me, because now God's telling them, here's what you got to do when the tabernacle's moving. God didn't say, "I'll come and visit the tabernacle." He said, "I will dwell between the cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant." And it was a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. But now, it's time for the tabernacle to move. So Numbers chapter 4 and verse number 5, it says, "When the camp sets out, Aaron and his sons..." Now, what part of Israel was Aaron and his sons? Anybody remember? The priesthood? Could we bring that over to a... I mean, could we... let's just keep going. We'll just read what it says. It says, "Aaron and his sons," the priesthood, "shall go in and they shall take down the veil of the screen and cover the Ark of the Testimony. And they shall lay a covering of porpoise skin on it, and it shall be spread over a cloth of pure blue, and it shall insert its poles. Over the table of the bread of the presence they shall also spread a cloth of blue and put it on the dishes and the pans and the sacrificial bowls." So everything doing that you do work with in the tabernacle had to be covered. And God is laying it out. If we want to be effective in what we're doing in the presence of God, it takes a covering. Now listen, beloved, how do I know, what's a good way? What's a good litmus test? Is this a healthy covering to be under, or an unhealthy covering to be under? If you'll notice, the only one getting benefit from the covering is what's under it. If a covering starts to make it about them, if it starts to become, "Hey, it's what you can do for me. I'm your covering." It's not what it says. The whole purpose of that covering is to benefit what's under it. Go to verse number 11. You still okay? Again, this whole series, I'm not going to tell you I fought with God. I would never want what I'm teaching on this to be misunderstood. But if you could go back over the almost 39 years that Elizabeth and I have been serving God and the 33 years we've been in ministry, what I'm teaching you over these weeks is our heart. It's why we're still here. There are times that there were times I wanted to go this way, but I knew, number one, I'm not leaving the covering. And I acknowledge that there's somebody that knows more about this than I do. And I'm going to submit to that. And that's what I do now. I mean, I submit to those that know more at this one than what I do. And I need that. If I'm going to be effective in the presence of God, like all those items that are... Well, Numbers chapter 4 and verse number 11, it says, over the golden altar they shall spread a blue cloth and cover it with a covering of porpoise skin and shall insert its poles. Verse 12, and they shall take all the utensils of service. Isn't that Ephesians chapter 4 said we're to do the works of service? With which they serve in the sanctuary and put them in a blue cloth and cover them with a covering of porpoise skin and put them on carrying bars. Everything had a covering that was being used in the presence of God. Isn't it interesting, beloved, how much the devil fights being under a covering? And how people that don't understand it think, oh, yeah, he controls you. I am not out to control anybody except me. I haven't mastered that yet. I believe I shared it last week. One of the things in this position, in this office, that's just, I'm getting used to it, is people that I know that are supposed to be under the covering, God doesn't release me from covering them. And it's amazing to me because people that I've just had, you know, passing relationships with, just I knew it was a God connection, and I don't hear from them. I got up this morning and God starts bringing people up and I'm like, God, you talk to them. But I can't get rid of that heart for them. And so I'm praying for them and God is speaking to me. And I sent them a text and they said, I'm putting it in my words, was like, this is freaking me out. You have no idea what I'm going through right now, but this is right on. That's what this is about. It's being that covering for the utensils of service that God has placed under you. But beloved, I want to say it again. It is not about what the utensils can do for the covering. It's about what the covering can do for the utensils of service under them. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 11, it says, now these things happened to them as an example. And they were written for our instruction. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 17. Things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. I like how the Passion says that. And all these were but a prophetic shadow and the evidence of what would be fulfilled, for the body is now Christ. See, God never intended the things he intends to use in service to be uncovered. Go to Matthew chapter 17. And I'm going to mention it again. I so appreciate that all three that shared last week, all of them. Now, I didn't tell them. All I did was talk about spiritual fathers. But all three of them said the same thing. They're very thankful for the times that they've been corrected. I can't help anybody that's not correctable. And don't come running to me after service and say, Pastor, you can correct me anytime, because I got a track record of people that say that are not correctable.
Well, we're out of time for today, so be sure to join us again tomorrow. We pray this program has been a blessing to you. Please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner with this ministry. You can reach us by phone at 1-800-20-GRACE or by mail at 4514 Briar Hill Road, Lexington, Kentucky, 40516. You can also reach us by internet at gracefellowshiplex.org. We sure would love to meet you, so please come on out and experience what God is doing in our services. We have two services on Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. We also have service on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for adult, youth, and children's ministries. In closing, all of us here at Grace Fellowship desire in your life what 3 John verse 2 declares. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. The preceding program was sponsored by Grace Fellowship.